This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Coming to us in the past, for coming to us in the future. Open our hearts to your love. Amen. Please be seated. All right, so when you hear this sound, can you hear it? Is it coming over? Kinda? What do you think of? Maybe danger? Yeah? And we have alarms like that to tell us about dangerous situations. And we have alarms to wake us up that sound like this. We have sounds to remind us of an appointment, maybe, that sound like this. Or the bell sounded by some to remind them to be in the moment, like this. Or the ancient gong of the bell that calls people to prayer even today. We're being given an alarm today, a notice, a wake-up call, like we do at the beginning of every single Advent. The beginning of our year in the church. It's our tradition to have this type of reading as a warning from the gospel, and today is no difference. We just heard, remember how it was with Noah and the ark? People were going about their regular lives, eating and drinking, marrying and being given in marriage, and they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. And then we hear about these two in the field. One will be taken, woof, and the other will be left. And then we hear two women grinding meal together. One will be taken, and one will be left. Well, there are three different perspectives looking at these scriptures. The first one is one that you've heard before, this left behind idea, the rapture. Remember the left behind books that were made so popular a few years ago? That's the first perspective. Listen to this description of that perspective by a woman by the name of Danielle Schroyer. She's a pastor and a young woman from Texas. When I was a teenager, I saw this video from the 70s that depicted the rapture. It had all of these nice-looking people being neighborly and mowing their lawns and cooking in their kitchens until, poof, all of a sudden, in a flash, and with terrible film editing, one of them was gone. The camera cut to an oven still on, untended, and then to a lawnmower careening down the lawn without anyone to steer it. And then the gospel from this week appeared on the screen like a slam dunk to make their point. Danielle describes the same sentiment that I found when I was researching for today. This kind of perspective is still ingrained in a lot of people. And there are websites that were pretty scary to visit. One was called countdown.org, a countdown to the Armageddon. And we're supposed to be so filled with fear in this perspective that we do what's right in this world because we better do it out of fear. All right, so that's one way to look at this passage. Another way to look at this passage is not to look at it as the end of all humanity, but as the individual day of judgment when each of us dies. And you know the story. We saw it in cartoons, the pearly gates, and we're up in the clouds, and there's these big gates with St. Peter deciding whether we can get in or we can get out. Or we're standing in front of the throne of God, and God is judging us based on how we behaved in life. That's the second perspective. And the third perspective goes like this. This is a description by a guy by the name of Jim Burgess. The point is not to speculate about a day of judgment sometime in the future, whether at the end of all humanity or at the death of each individual, but rather to confront us with God's radical claims on us here and now. Each day is judgment day. So I should always be asking myself, one day at a time, am I living in a way of Christ? Am I following in the way, trusting in Christ alone? Have I allowed myself to be distracted by selfish cares? In the beginning of our gospel reading today, you recall, Jesus said, no one will know when the end of time is. So stop worrying about that and start worrying about how you're behaving right now. And know you are filled with this grace of God that has already been given to you in the life and death and resurrection of Christ. Another commentator, one of my favorite priests, Herbert O'Driscoll, wrote this about that. Suppose Jesus is saying that at an unexpected hour there comes into all of our lives something that moves us deeply, that demands we come to terms with it, and that forces us to be accountable about what we have and what we are, that will turn us back to what we really believe, and that will require a grace beyond ourselves if we are adequately to respond and trust. Suppose this is true. Then maybe our Lord is saying to us, keep spiritually awake. Be spiritually ready. And like the sound of that bell, reminding us to notice. And I would add, to be awake to how much you are loved. To be awake to that love that will guide your life and lead you in every moment if we open to it. And that Christ already overcame death for us. We lit the first candle here, thank you, Ashmores, of Advent at the beginning of the service. And this first candle represents hope. So it seems funny that we'd be lighting that candle and then hearing a gospel like today. But that's exactly what's intended for us to hear, so that we have hope in Christ. So that we have that hope, and we know it. Hope in a light that shines in the darkness. It's no coincidence that Advent falls at this time of the year. So as we, you know, the days are getting shorter and shorter and shorter, and we have more and more and more darkness in the world, well, guess what happens? We all know. As we get to the week of Christmas, December 21st, that's when the light starts to come back and get brighter and brighter and brighter and longer and longer. It's no coincidence that we celebrate Christmas that week. My sisters and brothers, I invite you to a holy Advent and a hopeful Advent, a time to take stock of our lives and allow ourselves to draw close to the comfort of Christ and to identify what we're afraid of. What are our fears? What are the hard memories of regret or perhaps grieving that come up especially at this time of year for the loss of loved ones that we miss? And if we need help in doing that, if we need help, then we seek that help out during this time of preparation in our hearts, because there are plenty of people to help. If you don't know who, call me. Call me. I invite you to stay awake, to notice the present moments then, and we can leave our anxiety behind, and we do it together. Expect to be surprised by God's grace in your life, surprised by how much you are loved, and to know that you are never, ever, ever, ever alone. Ever. In her book, Take This Bread, Sarah Miles talks about when Jesus showed up, totally unexpected in her life. She was an atheist. She had been raised an atheist. And she literally accidentally walked into St. Gregory of Nyssa, which is this huge Episcopal church in California. And she looked around and she saw people standing and singing and sitting and standing and kneeling and sitting and standing again. She had never been to church before. She didn't know the Lord's Prayer. She didn't know what to do. She didn't have a clue about any of the songs. None of them. But she found herself being drawn in. And then she noticed this person in a robe up in the front saying, "This is the Lord's table and all are welcome." And so then she saw everybody moving forward and everybody putting their hands out. She put her hands out. And they actually put this piece of bread into her hands. And as she ate it, she writes that she was completely overwhelmed by surprise, that she had no clue was going to happen. And she began to cry, and she didn't know why. But she felt this deep serenity, and it was a miracle for her. It was a deep miracle, and it took her completely by surprise. She said, "I didn't know what had happened, and then I realized what had happened was Jesus Christ." She now runs a food pantry at that same church and gives away 12 tons of food each year to the hungry and poor in her city. 12 tons of food a year. When we are going about our regular lives, like the people described in the gospel today, eating and drinking, going to school, mowing our lawns, cleaning the kitchen, God invites us today to be aware and awake in the knowledge and love of God, and to ask ourselves what whisks us away from noticing the love of our families. What flood comes and pulls us to a distraction that takes us away from the knowledge and love of Christ? Jealousy, grudges, petty gossip maybe, drunkenness, real abuse of others, or focusing too much on ourselves. The call of God is not shaped by some fear of the future. The call of God is love and gratitude for this kingdom that Christ offers us right now, right this moment, in and through the love of one another. And so, yes, Christ sounds this alarm for us today. Nobody knows when our last days come, and Jesus says, stop worrying. He says, seize the day. Live now. Be awake and alert to God all around and within you. You want to have eternal life? Give me all of you. All of you. And when you put out your hand and receive and eat the bread, take me into your very being and then live in my name. Know that you are always in my presence. Be my light. Be my love. Love your neighbor as yourself and be willing to be last, and you will be first. And don't run from serving me. Don't think I'm not always with you anyway. Jesus says, trust me. Say what? Yes to my way, my truth, my life. I will always be here. I will always love you. And I will wait as long as it takes. Amen.